Accession number 16648, Reel 3.
Mr. Powers, of Reel 3.
We lined up at this start line and we were all a bit keyed up and apprehensive. And I remember they were shelling us, and these kangaroos are very open at the top, and the shrapnel was hitting the sides of the outside of this vehicle. And we were stationary there, you see, waiting for the order to go. And eventually it came through, go. And the driver revved up and went as fast as he possibly could, and zigzagging all the way up to this wood, because they were, the shellfire was quite intense. When we got to the outskirts of the wood, we all jumped out and extended line and went and attacked this small wood, went through it. By the time we got to the river bank, the other side, to the water's edge, at the edge of the wood, the other end of the wood, the Germans had crossed and gone back. So we stayed there for several hours, and it started to snow, terrific snowstorm. And luckily for us, we were to be relieved by another regiment. So by late afternoon, we withdrew and had a roll call. And we found that one who was in my platoon, the section leader, Corporal Farthing, was missing. So we looked all over for him. And then the next morning, well, that evening rather, we went back to through the regimental aid post and asked if he'd been through the aid post, the forward regimental aid post, and they said that he hadn't been through. So the next morning we dispatched someone with a carrier up to the, and eventually found him up there with a, he'd lost both his legs. When he jumped out of the vehicle, he jumped onto a mine, and he was almost covered with snow under a mangle, by the side of a mangle clamp, and he, of course, was dead. But that was the only casualty we had there. From there, we went on to, Venray. To Wiert, we captured Wiert. Spent 2 or 3 days there. Moved on. Eventually to the Reichswald Forest. We'd been through numerous places in Holland: Enschede, Hengelo, fought into Holland, into Germany, back into Holland. Eventually, there was a big attack on Gok up in the Reichswald Forest. And from there on, after that, I don't think there was anything very eventful other than the attack on Bremen. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, that, the approaches to Bremen, a place called Brinkham Crossroads, where we had tried to capture the crossroads, which was being held by fanatical Hitler Jugend, a youth group. Now, Major Claxton had already on the MC, he'd been wounded several times, took a patrol up towards this where the this group were prior to our attack on it, and he'd been killed there, and several companies had tried to attack and capture these crossroads, which at that point were the, was a cricket pavilion, and they were in the basement of this pavilion and could fire from the gratings. Anyhow, it seemed that each company attacked it were very vulnerable and exposed, and consequently we had casualties. But eventually orders came that a C company, which was my company, of course, were going to attack it. But there was a ray of hope because it said that we were going to secure, if we could, crocodiles, which were flamethrowers that were tanks towing these trailers full of the flamethrower fuel. But they were down at, they were way back at, I don't know, it was Antwerp or somewhere, and it was doubtful whether they could get up in time. If they didn't, the appointed time, we were going to attack anyway. So we were keeping our fingers crossed that they would arrive. Well, eventually, thankfully, they did arrive, and we attacked this crossroads and the cricket pavilion with these flamethrowers, and eventually captured it. I was, at that time, acting sergeant major, and I'd got the signallers and the stretcher bearers in a farmhouse, which was only about 100 yards back from the crossroads, or 200 yards. And my company commander, Major Vines, and another lieutenant, we were at the company HQ, and we were observing our forward platoons going in, and we stood at the on the gable end of a cow shed. And fortunately for me, I walked to see contact the signallers again, and just got my foot on the step of this house, and a shell hit the end of this gable building and killed Major Vines and wounded this officer. I was then left in charge of the company, which by then we'd secured the objective, and our commanding officer then was Colonel Goodwin, who eventually became General Sir Richard Goodwin. And it came over that on the Wallace set that I'd got to take C Company and dig in on the crossroads, on the one side of the crossroads, which I did. And eventually a Major Coppock of D Company took over the two companies. From then on, we went. My next recollection was the attack on Bremen, which was just a bit further on, of course. And we personally met light opposition on the outskirts of Bremen, and from there the war finished.
Did you come into contact with Russian troops?
It came not with the Russian troops. I came in contact very much with the Russian displaced people afterwards when we moved back to around Gütersloh and Langenberg in Westphalen, and we were appointed to take charge of a lot of these displaced people, and they were terrible.
In what way?
Well, they made this illegal hooch, alcohol, you know, they would get themselves, make themselves very ill with drinking this stuff that they'd concocted. Also that they would... one evening I was on curfew patrol, which meant that I would take a 15 underweight truck with the patrol with about three men and have to go around the outskirts of this village, around the countryside to the small holdings, etc., to see everybody was in the homes. And one night before we used to go out, of course, when it was just getting dusk on the patrol. And back at Company HQ that evening, there was a German padre came cycling down, and he said, "Oh, come quickly, someone had been shot by a Russian." And I took the patrol up in his truck up this road, and on the driveway of this house, a very old man was bent over his wife, laying on the verge of the driveway, and she'd been shot by one of these Russian officers, actually. And it transpired, the story goes, that they used to secure these, they used to commandeer these cars, German cars, and the ironic part about it was we had to give them petrol, which was rather strange. Anyway, he stood on the running board of this car and just shot this lady. And that is absolutely, you know, firsthand from this padre who told me that. And they would loot and pillage and rape. And we had to supply them with food. And because I suppose that politically at that time, things were very dicey. It was the time, of course, when the Russians had reached the... Digressing a bit, I remember when we had the Ogre, before the attack on Bremen, it came through from General Dempsey to the CO and consequently down to us from that. Well, after the attack on Bremen, we would dispatch immediately an armoured column up to, I think it was Bremerhaven, the demarcation line, because although it had been previously agreed that this is where we would stop, the Russians would stop, he said, General Dempsey, that if they got there first, it would be a hard job to dislodge them. So we'd got to make certain that we got up there at the appropriate time. That's as I heard it.
Was that Bremerhaven or Lübeck?
Well, it was Bremerhaven.
Why did you have to give petrol to displaced persons?
Well, I don't...
Was the person who shot that woman a displaced person or a Russian army?
Russian... Well, there were some Russian army officers amongst these people.
DPs.
Yeah. They were apparently... This, where we were, we took over the Burgomaster's house, the Company HQ, sergeants, because we created a mess there. And what did it happen to the... when the Germans had the place, they'd got these displaced persons in what was a furniture factory, but they were making mortar bomb cases. And they were... There were 200 or 300 of them, and they were living, when we got there, they were living in this factory place with... they'd partitioned various parts off of different groups, you know, and they were living there. And of course, before we got there to administer, they were looting and living off the land. And, of course, the Germans were at their complete mercy because the tide had changed, hadn't it? And the Germans were frightened to death of them.